4. We're going to begin the reading at verse 1. Praise God. Our emphasis for this month, as you know, all this year we've been talking about being overcomers. And this month, we're going to talk about being an overcomer, but really put the emphasis on the true source and the true point of contact that brings about the ability to be an overcomer. And if we are overcomers at all, it's not because of our own greatness. It's only because the greater one is on the inside. Amen. The greater one is on the inside. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you and praise you, for you are so good to us and you have helped us and strengthened us. Oh, we glorify your name, because you have shown yourself strong in our lives and on our behalf. Every place and in every way that we have had need of you, you've never disappointed us. You've always been faithful. And you have been faithful and true to your word. Whatever you have said, all comes to pass. There has not failed one word of your promises. All comes to pass. And we are blessing you tonight and thanking you tonight. We've come to this house to just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for taking up residence in us. We are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for having a living presence on the inside. And we acknowledge you now, as we endeavor to just study the Word of God, to be reminded of the wealth of divinity that is in us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we will have a greater confidence, because the greater one is in us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. The Word says here, beginning at this first verse, 4th chapter, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. In fact, this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now, already, it is in the world. So ye are of God, little children. You are of God. Ye are of God, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Ye are of God, and he that knoweth God does what? He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. This section in this epistle written by John begins with truths that are not only unfailing, but critically important. He writes to believers, a believing church, and he first says about them, he addresses them, not as saints. He addresses them as beloved. Beloved. Anytime you see the word beloved, think of someone who is not only loved, but held in high esteem with that love. They are elevated by that love. They are loved and really loved. And they are loved and they are raised up, and they are literally the point of intended affection. Beloved. One of the reasons why he begins with this is because people who are not beloved, people who don't necessarily identify themselves as beloved, are people who are so capable of being taken advantage of. Now, I know that you can kind of cross that line when you are loved and be loved and get a little cocky. Sometimes we call it spoiled. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you can cross over the line and, you know, need a little discipline because you just, you know, you kind of, you know, just getting a little beside yourself. But really, there really is nothing that compares to the sense of confidence that a person has who is made perfect in love. That person doesn't look for substitutes. Why? Because they are made complete by the love that they are experiencing. Perfect love dispels fear. It casts out fear. And those who are assured of love don't live under the threat of being abandoned. They are now people who are assured that affection is here today and it won't fail for tomorrow. And so when John writes, he writes to the church to tell them, first of all, you are beloved. I'm talking about those who are assured of this. Because he understood through the Holy Ghost that those who are not assured and settle in divine love, they reach out for something else to fix the love voids. Amen. It is not difficult to even be captured by contrary and deceitful and false voices All because there's a hunger to be beloved. And the truth of the matter is, there's not a person in here that doesn't want to be beloved. Want to be identified as beloved. So he writes to the church and says to the church, God really cares about you. He cares about you so much that to God, you are as the apple of his eye. And as the apple of an eye, you know, even with the apple of your eye, there is a defense mechanism that is in place to protect your eyes. Even when you don't really even know what's coming at you and can't pick it up, there's batting of the eye, there's protection of the eye. And God is letting us know that I love you so much that I am concerned about you, and I am doing everything that I need to do to protect you and protect your interests. And so he tells them, don't you believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Try the spirit. Test the spirit to see whether the spirit is of God. And then he tells them why you need to do this. Because there are, M-A-N-Y, many false prophets that are gone out into the world. Many false voices. Many erroneous voices. Many people who are talking and don't know what they're talking about. Many people who have words that their words are going in the wrong direction, and they are not exalting the Lord. They are exalting themselves. They are exalting their own agenda. They are pursuing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and maybe even the pride of life. They are out of order, and he's letting you know that there are many false prophets. But our assignment is, now that we know that we are beloved, he says to us, try the spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Test the spirits, whether they are of God. In other words, every person that stands up before you can be seen or received as a prophet. The only question is, what kind of prophet is this person? Every person that could stand up before you can be a teacher. Any person that stands up before you can be a preacher, a reacher, or whatever you want to call them. The only question is, what's the spirit behind it? And he says to us, try the spirits. Test the spirits. Unfortunately today, we have become people that don't try, don't test. We look at the flowers. We look at the display. Did you see his business card? Did you hear them singing? Singing like that. That's anointed. And he is telling us, don't believe everything. Test it. Try it. Why do we need to do that? We need to do that because when the person is being motivated or driven by something that is false, that is error. And I know we don't like to talk about that nowadays, and really the pulpit is our fault, but it's time to just do something about it. Amen, church. There are many false prophets, and just because somebody says something that sounds good today does not mean they are to be believed. Amen. Why? Because they just may be false. But you cannot know whether someone is a true anything hearing them one time. Because you can never ever get everything out of them at one time. Sometimes people even say, you know, that so-and-so called me into that line, and when they got through prophesying, they were right on the money. I know that's a true prophet. I'm here to say to you, I don't care how good you feel, there's no reason to not use the ruler. God's ruler says, try. Test it. Evaluate it. Amen. Don't just look at it and say, look like an inch. I declare it look like it's 12. Amen. I had the responsibility of depositing some money for a jurisdictional thing today, and I counted the money, and I came up with $194 cash. I said, paper says $195. So I counted it again, and I came up with $194. I said, So I wrote a note on the document that says, short, $1. I took a dollar out of my pocket, made it up, and went to the bank, put that in the jurisdictional account. And the person, the teller, counted it. And it was $196. And she says, you a dollar over. What do you want to do with this dollar? I said, I want it back. Because I had tested it twice. Are y'all getting my point here? I had tested it two times. And I could have. I didn't need to swear. But I could have just. I could have assured. No. But she counted it twice and came up with $196. What are you saying? I'm saying, even as accurate as we may think we are, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I don't care who you know and what you know. And I know sometimes we are, and even in relationships, and I'm really not trying to go down that road, but even in relationships, sometimes a person can be so longing for someone, they're willing to just not count again. Amen. But here's what I've learned. If the count is legitimate, it will stand a recount. is a true prophet, he can stand, she can stand a recount. Amen. There are people who have even said, you know, what you doing? Disputing the word of a prophet? You don't do that. And you should respond, of course you do. The word says, test. Now, if you don't want to be tested, then I don't need to bank on you. Because all of us can be tested. Need to be tested. He says there are many false prophets gone out into the world. He says, but you need to know whether the spirits are of God. You need to know that. Don't believe every one of them. Everything is not of God. Now let's keep going. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Now, I need to make sure that I preface my remarks with this verse by making sure it is clear that he is not in any kind of way saying to us, this is the only test that is necessary, because he's already told us, try the spirits, whether they be of God, because there are many false prophets going out in the world. But here he is giving to us one of the tests. And if we keep reading, in fact, if you remember when we read earlier, you will know that this is not the only test, but it is a test, and an important test. And the point that I really want to make with this test is that sometimes, Lord help us, sometimes we take this position. I just don't want to judge anybody. I'm trying to look past you and see the spirit. Because I may not know you, but I've got the tools to check out that spirit. And I want you to grab a hold of that and begin to stand in that vein as you walk with God. You may not know the person, and you don't have to know the person. Because this is really not as much about the person as it is about the spirit behind them. Because all that we need to know is we need to know about the spirit. Because the reason why that is so important, the person could die, but their spirit's going to be still alive. That person could be gone. That person could be out of town somewhere. And someone with that same spirit, it could be even a familiar spirit. You know anything about a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is familiar. Familiar with you? Familiar with your circumstances? Sometimes the enemy plays us. Well, you know, you don't want to be, you know, counting people out. I'm not trying to count anybody out. That's not the believer's assignment. Our assignment is to not say you in or you out. Our assignment is check it. Talk back to me, somebody. Our assignment is to not say you're up or you're down. Our assignment is to check it. Assignment is not always to say this is black or this is white. His assignment is to check it. And he's making it clear in this verse that when you check it, stop looking for gray areas. Stop looking for shades of gray. This is an on and off switch. every spirit that does what? Confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is what? Of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Don't think, try the spirit and think, I gotta be deep. It is not difficult to know whether a person confesses Jesus. Hello? But you may not find out immediately. You may not know in a moment. It may take some listening. It may take some sitting around and replay the recorder. I left here Sunday and I was headed to Hattiesburg. And I happened to turn the radio on because it was, you know, we got out early, you know, like black folks don't get out. We got out early, and I was able to turn to see, you know, if there were some, you know, churches with their radio broadcasts on. And I heard someone preaching, and I was listening, and I kept noticing, he's giving a lot of information. Quoting the Bible very much. What's up with this? He kept on talking, and he was talking about marriage. Well, marriage is a good subject. And then he said something that it rose up in me. That ain't right. He says, marriage is only for saved people. Excuse me. So what you saying about all these other people? And his rationale was, you can't know love unless you say. And I thought in my mind, hey, bro, that ain't the kind of love that you need for marriage. That love that you're talking about is the kind of love that you need mainly for God, and you need it to be godly. But if you're going to be married, you need one of them other kind of love. You know, that friendship love and that affection love. Because with that, just that divine love, you'll be just fine being married, saying, God bless you. Good morning. How you doing? that worked. Hey, God bless you. Good morning. No, you know, when you got that married love, you know, you know, you want to hug every once in a while. You want some affection. Amen. And I'm just saying, How you come up with that? But I notice, not now scripture to back that up. Not everything, but logic to back it up. Well, it is true that you don't really know as much about love, and you cannot really be a person that walks in love without greater knowledge. And really, when you come to the Lord, yes, it is true, your eyes come open. But to say that marriage is only for saved people, weird to me, because that's the first thing I thought, So you think that people ain't saved? So it's all right for them to just check? Well, then later on in the message, he was saying checking was wrong. So I said, you're confusing me. I'm not sure where you are and what you believe. It's amazing how you can listen to a person. And I'm saying, people of God, let's not be so busy hollering and screaming that we ain't listening. Hello, somebody. I'm gonna throw this in here, and this is not on the subject, but it's next door. If someone is ministering to you and they're prophesying over you, stop speaking in tongues and listen. Oh my Lord, help me. Praying for you. And you just go, and he said, thus says the Lord. You can't hear. Your spirit is subject to you. Stop speaking in tongues. Hold it, because if it's the Holy Ghost, it'll speak after the prophecy, after the word of knowledge. Be more ready to hear. Amen, somebody. I am the kind of pastor that don't usually give more opportunity for people in our house to speak than I do for people outside of our house. And if you've been a part of the church long enough, you've seen that. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes people just come out the bag. Even people that I thought I knew. Where you get that from? What the world are you talking about? And then as a pastor, you know, I want to get up and say, you know, take all of that, but I don't want to do that. Because that's, you know, I'm not trying to humiliate anybody. But I don't want people to be misled. But you know the best defense for that? Is to tell you, even when that person comes and I have presented them as the person, man of God, woman of God, test what you hear. Know what you hear. Is it all right to give vent to the word? Say amen? Absolutely. But don't say amen in a way that you can't hear. Because there are many false spirits, and the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. Are you hearing me? He says, you have heard it should come. He says, back then, he says, even now, already it is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist is not something that's coming. It is already here. Antichrist. Amen, church. Beloved, the same beloved he's talking to in verse 4. And I finish with this. Stop with this, I should say. Ye are of God. There are many things that a person should be assured of. And one of those things that you should have no doubt about is whether or not you're saved. We should have the absolute highest confidence. I'm saved. And I'm of God. I may not know everything, but there's one fundamental thing. The old folks used to say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. And I remember hearing my dad say many times to the saints, never forget that you are saved. Don't let trouble start and you forget you're saved. If you were in the Trump family, which may not be the best family to be in right through here, but if you were in the Trump family, even that young man, is he junior? I think he's junior that is in the hot water now. You know, I guess can't blame him for being in hot water. If his dad is a hot water person, then, you know, son, father, son, okay. But with all of the trouble and all of the distractions, one thing you can put your foot on it, that young man probably never forgets, I'm a Trump. I want to say to you, a better than Trump has fathered you. You are a child of God. Believe, I am of God. You're his child. And not only are you of God, he said, and you have overcome them. The main thing he's teaching us here is you are not gullible. I am not gullible. I'm going to say something here. Hold this up because I got so much I need to say. You know, one of the things that, and I'm always going to encourage people to go to conferences that you can get some wealth in. You know, go to conferences that are part of the Church of God in Christ. But you know, sometimes things will happen. Maybe somebody, and even may even be someone, something like this happened in our gathering. Someone, you may have been in revival somewhere, but a person was trying to put you under pressure and guilt. If you got one $20 bill in your pocket, don't you sit there and act like you ain't got it. The Holy Ghost says $20. Everybody with $20, give $20. Trying to pressure people. Manipulate them. I want you to believe you are of God. So now you don't want to be cursed. Now hold up. Well, I give $20 in the offering, you raise it, don't mean I'm going to be cursed. I'm a tither. I can't be cursed. Now, if you keep on talking, I'm going to know what kind of spirit you got. Just keep on running your mouth because I'm going to be listening. Because he says, believe not every spirit. Check it out. See what's behind that. Amen. I've said it many times, and I reiterate this. Someone stands before you and says, I want everybody to get $100. Give it in this offering. Lord blessed you to do that. Go for it. But I don't have $100 to give in the offering. Lord, get ready to bless somebody. Because they must not be talking to you. And don't be drowned by that. Why? I'm of God. I know I'm saved. And the first word in the chapter was beloved. And that's what I am. I'm beloved. Amen. I heard my brother say something, and I thought it was so good. I think it's worth repeating. He said, I don't go to church to hear sinners preach. And if I happen to be there and they preach, I don't give nothing in the offering. say, why does he say that? Number one, you have got to believe that can't nobody curse you but God. And can't nobody cut your blessings off but God, or your deliberate and willful disobedience of his known word. Amen. Live what you know and have integrity with your God, because the greater one is in you. How can y'all be cursed? Greater one is in me. Because the God of heaven may be telling you, ask everybody for $20. But I might have purposed in my heart when I left home, I'm going to give $50 in this offering. I'm planting a seed. I don't know what's going to go on, but this is what. And the word backs me up. As a man has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. I know we like to. Oh, I wish when we get that big church, that big building, oh, we're going to be able to get in some of them big stars. Just may not. Because not everybody who is, you know, on the billboard is necessarily somebody that the Holy Ghost would direct me to ask him to come share the word. But I always like to have our people to understand, even if I invite them, you are not under somebody's thumb. Amen, somebody. Think with your own mind. Oh, my Lord. Think with your own mind. Pray with your own spirit. Believe that the Holy Ghost can lead you. Amen, church. He can what? He can lead you. Why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, I have endeavored to instruct your people in the word of God. And the word is good. The word is good. It is necessary for us. It's a needful thing. We want to be inspired. We want to be strengthened. We want to be helped. We want to be prepared for even things that are to come and that we don't even know they're headed in our direction. Thank you that we are not gullible. Thank you, can't nobody just pull something over our eyes because you've already given us a way to know it. Let's see what he's got to say about Jesus that tells me where he is. Father, help us to be people that walk the word out, live the word out in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we are overcomers because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Glory to God.